CBS, Eye on the World, I'm John Batchelor, to Moscow, to Felix Light of CBS News and the Moscow Times. Russia, very carefully watching the results and the comments and the expectations from Glasgow, Scotland, the expectations of what is to be done with climate change. Deforestation is a very, very big story for the planet and for Russia. That vast Siberian wilderness, the taiga, those trees have been at issue for these last months because of the wildfires in Yakutia, the coldest part of Siberia, that poisoned the air, forced people to either stay inside or evacuate their children. And Felix reported that it reached to the Kremlin, that the reluctant voices of leadership in the Kremlin paid attention when the Russian people said, something must be done. We're looking at losing our rich forests. We're losing the permafrost. We're even having the peat underneath threatened because those fires burn all winter. So Russia Federation has now joined in the pledge that by 2030, we will reverse deforestation on the planet, but particularly in Siberia. Felix, I summarize all of this because this has been your careful reporting for me and for the Moscow Times. The intention of Russia to follow through is always a matter of policing. Is there a mechanism in place? Has the Kremlin talked about what is to be done with the deforestation in Yakutia other than wait for better weather? Good evening to you.
Good evening, John. Yeah, so look, it's an interesting question because this issue of deforestation is not simply sort of about, you know, deforestation in isolation. The core of sort of the Russian plan to reduce the country's carbon emissions is actually to actively increase the amount of carbon, the amount of greenhouse gases that the forests take in. So, you know, this idea that Russia is going to achieve, you know, so-called net zero, you know, absorb more carbon than it puts out by, I believe, 2060, they're saying, you know, that is predicated on basically fixing deforestation. So I think signing up to this deal in Glasgow, specifically on deforestation, was basically seen as a win-win. You know, you've alluded to this already in your sort of introduction, but we've been discussing this a lot in recent months, how, you know, the issue of forest fires, the issue to some extent of illegal logging as well, has really become a top flight issue sort of, you know, in Russian opinion. You know, you see it cropping up again and again and again. And I think it had got to the point where, you know, the Kremlin felt that it had to do something, that it was basically like, it would have even been, you know, costly for it not to do something. Because, you know, the Kremlin and Putin are actually very, very informed by public opinion and what the people, you know, what the people want to hear. And they will often sort of do what the people want or what they perceive the people want. And so in this case, I think what we had was, you know, the government really responding to a sort of a political imperative. You know, in terms of actual practical policy, it's really unclear what we're going to actually see. It's not clear how one can sort of achieve these sort of plans that are being set out, you know, boost carbon absorption, boost, you know, any number of things to try and get to this target. It's very, 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 very unclear, I think.
Moscow Times reports, witticism is always a good way to track history, that at the beginning of the 21st century, the joke in Moscow was maybe climate change is not so bad in such a cold country as ours. 2 or 3 degrees wouldn't hurt. That's where we were then. Here's where we are now. Russia is an energy superpower. Gazprom is the way forward for Europe if it's not to be chilly this winter. So you've got in one country the paradox that we all face. In order to affect the climate change, we've got to transition off of fossil fuels. And yet we need the fossil fuels for the populations and the manufacturing, the prosperity. What is the expectation in Moscow about this ambition to move away from fossil fuels? In Western Europe particularly, they talk about renewables all the time. Does Russia believe that's imminent, that that's going to cut into its ability to prosper because it is a natural resource giant? Or are they shrugging the way they did in 2003? They'll get cold and come back to us.
Yeah, I think it's one of the biggest questions, sort of in the sort of Russian, you know, political elite right now is sort of, what are we going to do and when are we going to do it? Basically, as we understand, the situation at this point is basically a question of time frames, right? I think there's a broad consensus and a broad acknowledgement in the Russian elite and in the Kremlin that, you know, they know that this sort of so-called energy transition away from sort of, you know, heavy, carbon heavy, you know, polluting fossil fuels is going to happen. It's kind of just a question of whether it happens by 2040 or by 2030. I think Russia certainly wants to keep the sort of the gas and the oil and to perhaps a much lesser extent the coal running for now because so much of their economy and so much of their state budget is sort of based on that. But also they don't exist in a vacuum, right? They are very, very much informed by what their customers in Europe and in China are going to buy. And there are huge problems already arising in sort of some of the coal producing regions of Siberia that are traditionally plugged into the German market. If Germany stops buying, which it is beginning to stop buying, where do we sell our coal? And the answer most likely is no one. And so this stuff it's almost not a choice, but it's a necessity that is sort of being foisted upon the Russian government. And I think certainly in the last year, there is a much more sort of awareness of this.
The virus, the vaccine, the last we talked, you were on the eve of a take the week off from work in order to deal with the spiking numbers of positives. You have a vaccine, Sputnik V, but you have a very low vaccination rate. Is the take the week off still underway, and is it regarded as successful or not?
Well, yeah, so the take the week off, and that was a Moscow policy that sort of subsequently got rolled out to most of the country, is coming to an end now. It will be over, I believe, at the end of this working week, so on Friday and on the weekend. But that being said, you know, it's really hard to know whether it was successful or not. What we were told today by the Moscow authorities is they're not going to renew it. They are notably renewing it in other countries, so that may be a vote of confidence in sort of how the policy worked out in Moscow and what effects it has, and perhaps that the situation is improving here. But it's very hard to sort of look at the figures that are coming out now and think that this is a situation that's improving. You know, we are still seeing almost every day a record death toll. We're seeing about 1,200 Russians die every day of coronavirus. And that's just the official figures, which I think even the government acknowledges are probably not entirely accurate. So I think it's quite clear there is a sort of an ongoing problem here. And this non-working week might have been a bit of a palliative. You know, it might have been a sort of a band-aid on the gaping wound, but it's not solved the problem by any stretch. And I think, you know, we're still in it for the long stretch here. You know, the vaccine, by all accounts, it seems to work, but people just are not going for it. You know, we still see a consistent majority of Russians saying, I do not want the vaccine for whatever reason. And, you know, without a resolution to that specific problem, a broader solution to COVID in Russia, you know, it's difficult to see how it would come about.
How about life in Moscow? This is the city where all the young people are. Do you see new filters, for example, at restaurants, at bars, and people in masks on the metro? Any change?
Well, yeah, I mean, it's an interesting question because, you know, the terms of this sort of stay at home order, or this don't go to work order more likely, are basically that all bars, restaurants, you know, clubs are all shut down. Now, some of them, we know, are working sort of illegally, you know, in the grey areas, sort of they're sort of still operating down there. They're not supposed to be. And many are getting raided by the police. But this is just, I think, another sort of almost an anecdote, another data point about how, you know, the vast majority of Russians are just not particularly interested in taking this pandemic particularly seriously. You know, life here, and I've been stressing this as long as we've been talking, John, you know, life was largely normal from sort of summer 2020 when we went out of our first lockdown, and that's just the way it stayed until this autumn now.
And what we have then is an unknown about the virus and the vaccine in Russia. It's an unknown because Russia is integrated with much of the world. The travel to Asia and to Europe this winter with people indoors, it will be a continuing source of challenge for everyone because of the low vaccination rate. Felix Light, he is CBS News in Moscow, also the Moscow Times. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.